Amen. So let's get right into the word. I want to talk to you today. Do you remember some time ago, a few years ago back now, I talked to you about the Holy Spirit, and I asked you to do something. I asked you to say, I said, I want you to forget what you know about the Holy Spirit. Don't come into this thing thinking that you know everything. Just sort of clear your mind and just let's see what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing today about the subject that we'll be speaking. I'm talking to you today about, does the Bible teach prosperity? Does the Bible teach prosperity? I want you to forget everything you know. I don't want you to think about the TV preachers. Forget that, all that, okay? Let's see what the Word of God says, and then we will come up with what we believe. If you want to put your finger in your Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we'll be reading that, but not for a while. So let's get on the same page with together. And so I looked it up, and I wanted to give you a Webster's Dictionary definition of prosperity. And it's to achieve economic success, thriving conditions marked by success or economic welfare. The Greek word is, I think I've got it up there for you. I will never even try to pronounce that. But it means to help on the road, success in reaching and in business affairs. In America, we have this mentality that success equals money. Money equals success. And I don't believe that. I don't believe money equals success. Just trying to get you on the same page as me. Prosperity to me is more than money. Prosperity to me is peace with God, peace with people, good relationships, and walking in good health. Let's pray. Father God, I come before you today, and I pray, Lord, I never had to pray for your word to be anointed because it is anointed. But I do have to pray for our ears and our heart. I pray, God, that today that the seed of the Word of God would find good soil. God, that you would shape what we think by the Word of God. God, I ask, Lord, for enlightenment, for revelation, and, Lord, for change of heart, Father, according to your Word, let it be done in our life. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One of the most common verses that you'll hear in the Bible is 3 John verse 2. And it says, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So John put it this way, prosperity, success, what's more important? Soul prosperity. Soul prosperity. Is your heart right with God? That has so much more influence in your life than what your bank account says. Is my heart right with God? Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says, Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. The one thing that I find wrong with the doctrine that comes from the television on prosperity is they leave out man's responsibility. It's just all about what God wants to make you rich. If God made us all rich, he would be signing most of us, he'd be signing our ticket to hell. Because with riches comes problems. So God's desire is not to make you rich, it's to make you prosperous. Prosperous with him, prosperous in all kinds of... Let me give you a verse that I don't have in here. It's also in Luke, and he says this. He said, if you be an evil... As a father, want to give good gifts to your children. How much more then, I, as your heavenly father, would want to give you good gifts. And he says, and he goes on, I believe it's in Luke, where he says, and I will give you the Holy Spirit. It is, if you're a mom or a dad, you wanted your children to do better than you did. You did everything in your power to bring them up and to bless them. And I believe that we get that attitude from God. I believe as a parent, we're reading the heart of God and saying, just as you gave to me, I want to give to my children. in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Having all sufficiency in all things, may you have an abundance. We know that the Lord Jesus, when he was teaching us to pray, he said, give me my daily needs. Give me the things that I need for this day. I agree with that. I just think that sometimes we think our daily needs is just about us. Your daily needs is more than you, more than feeding what's sitting around your table. I can remember there was a time in our life that I'd got Treve and I in a sort of a bad way financially, and we had a missionary come to church and they took up an offering. I've always had a heart for missions. And they took up an offering and we were dead broke. I mean, we had nothing. And so I was so humbled at that moment and repentant. And I literally repented. I said, God, I've got us in a mess. And I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I said, if you give me out of this, I said, I promise you one thing. I said, I'll never get back in it and I'll always bless missions. And I'm going to tell you, our life began to change at that moment. God began to change. Your daily needs is more than just what it takes to pay the electric bill and feed your children. Your daily needs is to be able to help others, right? I can say it again if you need to hear it again. Yes. Okay. So let's not limit God to that point. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. People know that. People quote that verse all the time. What we don't know is what we pull this verse out of context and we make it say, God's going to do it all. This was given, this portion of scripture was given to a people that were giving out of their need. They were not a rich people, but they were givers. They were giving to the ministry. And Paul said, my God will supply all your need. Why? Because he had confidence that God would give back to them because they were givers. I hate it when greedy people take the promises of God and try to make it say something that it doesn't. Folks, do I believe in prosperity? Does the Bible teach prosperity? It does. It really does. Deuteronomy, going all the way back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Now he adds a new element right there. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth. If you're sitting on your tail and asking God to send a check to your mailbox, I have no faith for that. But that's sort of what's taught. I don't know so much that that's what's taught. That's what's heard. That's the way American people hear the prosperity gospel and we just think money. Woo-hoo, he's going to make me rich. Not if you can't handle it. Not if you're not a giver. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, he says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He starts off with those three words. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How's that start? Honor the Lord. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. I know lots of rich people that have lots of sorrows. I love this promise of God. He'll give to you with no sorrow. That's a promise. That's a great thing. So now, if you're there in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, I want to read to you a story about a young man. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 says, now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and they made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eleth and restored it to Judah. And after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, the walls of Jabne, and the walls of Ashdod. He built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Mennonites. Don't you wish you were reading this? Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for it became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. He built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for which he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and the plains. He also had farmers and vineyards, or vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Now skip over to verse 16. He says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then down to verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. This is, to me, one of the greatest stories in the Bible. He starts off so strong. Uzziah became king when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. That is one of the longest reigns of any kings of both Israel and Judah. The Bible says that he did right in the sight of the Lord, but then it says he stopped short. He did right in the eyes of the Lord, but, that's a huge word, but he did not remove the high places. What were the high places in the land? It was a place of idol worship, and he knew it was going on. He stopped short of doing everything he knew he should have done. And yet God blessed his life. I think we can relate to Uzziah. I think some of us feel like we've done our duty when we come to church once a week. Well, God, you need to bless me. I was at church Sunday. I recently read a book by Tim Keller, and it's called Counterfeit Gods. And I know that we sometimes have a hard time understanding that maybe, possibly, America has idols, right? And I'm not talking about the movie or the show. But he said that we have many idols in our land. Prosperity and success is one of them. See, God's not into idolatry. God requires for him to be number one in your life. And if success and prosperity, even though he teaches it, if that becomes number one in your life, you're out of order. You got something wrong. Money, sex, power, entertainment, all of these are idols in America, and they're idols in the church. Sometimes church itself can become an idol. You do not serve the church. And you heard it here. We serve Jesus Christ. We worship together, right? We are the church. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says this. He says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness. You know, Americans are sort of teethed on covetousness. That's the American dream, is to look at what somebody else has and then you want it too. But he has three more words in this statement. He says, put to death these things. Put to death covetousness, which is idolatry. If you're looking at somebody else's car and say, I wish I had that car, that's covetousness. That's idolatry. I wish I had their kind of money. That's idolatry. Right? Come on, don't get quiet on me. You know I'm preaching good. I can remember one time in our church, Pastor Art was preaching the message of prosperity. And the longer he preached it, the more I began to feel the spirit change in the church. And it became charged. It was almost electrical. And I'm just not so sure that it wasn't covetousness. We were hearing the message of prosperity, and I think, by and large, we were thinking, God's going to do this for me. God's going to make me rich. God's going to do... And I think you got it out of balance when you get it that way. Do I believe in covetousness? It does... Yes, I do. Do I believe in prosperity? It doesn't matter what I believe. What matters is, what does the Word teach? Does the Word teach prosperity? Absolutely, yes, it does. But you got to get it in balance. How you hear it, how you live it out is important. Because Uzziah was successful in everything he did. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. There is something more important than your bank account, and that's your soul's account. I don't want you to die and go to heaven or hell as a rich man. It doesn't matter. Just make it to heaven. Rich or poor. Uzziah prospered as long as he sought the Lord. And so will you. I love one statement in this. It said that Uzziah loved the soil. You know, God gave him all kinds of creative things to do to provide for his people. So I believe that he come up with ingenuity on how the soil could produce more. That's a type of prosperity, right? As we plant, you know, it's amazing to me as I've been reading the Old Testament. When they wasn't serving God, the soil didn't produce. The same soil that produced so much when God was on the throne, all of a sudden became barren. Why? Because it was the blessing of the Lord on the soil. Also, Uzziah, he created things. It talks about how he built all kinds of corner palaces, basically, or things on the city wall. He was an intelligent man because God gave him the intelligence. He just got something a little wrong. His life became out of balance. You know, Matthew 6:33. Says, seek first the kingdom of God. I think it's probably one of the most simplified verses in the Bible, and yet probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and God will supply all the other needs that you have. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while He can be found. Psalms 34 says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then down to verse 8, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, one of the things that we studied in Sunday school class is the devil tries to come to you and tell you that God is not good, that God is not a giver. And he lies. He's the father of all lies, right? So we have to know who our Father is. And the psalmist said, taste and see. Come on. Give Jesus a chance in your life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. What a promise. What a promise. Have you ever had lean times in life? think we should go back and check our heart. God, am I doing everything right? Now, I will tell you, just because you have lean time doesn't mean you're in sin. Don't ever think that I'm saying that. Sometimes the devil just lets you go through stuff, and God is teaching you through some difficulty. The Bible says that when King Uzziah was at his greatest, something very, very bad happened. He realized it. His heart was lifted up. Folks, this is a scary thing. When you're at the top of your game, when you're the most successful, stay humble. What happened to King Uzziah was pride came into his heart. And all of a sudden, what does God say about pride? Goes before a fall. That he will not lift that person up, right? That it's pride is saying, basically, it's looking at God and saying, I don't need you anymore. I got it. I got this, God. You know, when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, man, they depended on God, right? The walls fell down. But the next little battle, the next little city was called Ai. And they said, we don't really need that much. Do you see what we did to Jericho? Just send a few of us and we will take this town down. What was happening? All of a sudden, they begin to think they did it, not God, right? You know, sometimes God blesses the work of your hands. I believe God does that. And it's often easy to see, man, look at what I've done. Look how great I've become. Man, I've just turned that business around. I've done this and I did that. And boy, I'm not realizing God blessed the work of your hands. And as he blessed it, he can remove that blessing. It's exactly what happened to Uzziah. A lot of people believe that God cursed Uzziah and touched him with leprosy. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. See, John 10:10 says something very clear. It says that Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have the abundance. So I don't believe God touches us with cancer. I don't believe God inflicts us with disease. I believe that's part of the curse. But here's what I believe. I believe sometimes when we let pride come in our heart, God removes his hand. And when God removes his hand, when God removes his protection, all of a sudden, and it doesn't take long, all of a sudden Satan sees an open door and he comes in. It said one day Uzziah, being lifted up, he goes into the temple and he begins to offer sacrifices to the Lord. He's offering incense before the Lord. And Amaziah, the priest, comes in and said, Uzziah, what are you doing in here? You can't do this. Do you know who I am? I am the king. You don't tell me I can't. I tell you what to do. The Bible says he became furious. He was out of place. He was doing something he wasn't called to do. And the priest of the Lord came in and said, get out of here. You're not supposed to do this. It was a type of protection. I'm trying to protect you, King Uzziah. This is not where you're supposed to be. This is not. Do you realize when I say Christians ought not lie? Christians don't commit adultery. Do you know? I am not saying don't. I'm saying you better not do this because it's going to open the door, your life, to the door to the enemy. There's consequences to this, to sin of all kinds. And all of a sudden, as he became furious, the Bible says that leprosy broke out on his forehead. Says all the priests ran in and they grabbed King Uzziah and they took him out of the temple. But for the rest of his life, he lived in isolation. Had to make him a house away from everyone else. His son took over his kingly duties. That seems like an awful price to pay. Folks, I'm just telling you. When God gets out of priority in your life, there is a price to pay. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, He prospered. I wish you'd put your name there. As long as Treva sought the Lord, she prospered. As long as Eric sought the Lord, he prospered. Put your name in it. But when life gets out, and folks, let me tell you, it doesn't take long to get out, does it? Remember the New Testament? He says the cares of this life choke off the Word of God. See, Satan is the master at getting you so busy in life, you just don't have time to pray. You don't have time to read the Bible anymore. I don't have time to go to church. Church takes a whole hour and a half, and I don't have that kind of time. Then you're way too busy. Good preaching, Pastor Eric. Just keep it coming, bro. We don't, do we? We need balance. We need balance in this life, right? So I wanted to bring something to you. We know pride is evil. Can I tell you something that's just equally as evil? It's a low self-esteem. It's when you think poorly of yourself. That's not humility. We have pride on one hand. We have a low self-esteem on the other. What's in the middle? Humility. Walking with God. Do you know that sometimes humble people seem arrogant? You know why? Because they know their God. You know, Daniel was a humble man, but he knew his God. And he went through some mighty things in God. Joseph, who we studied last week, he was a humble man, but yet he went from the prison to the palace, just like that. But do you remember the first thing he told the king? He said, dreams belong to the God, belong to God. It's not me, king. But God knows your dreams, and he will reveal it to me. That's confidence. He knew his God. Daniel said, they that know their Lord will do exploits. Humility is not thinking just that I'm a worm. I'm the dust of the earth. I believe that's from Satan. Satan is talking to you, and you're believing his lie. Now, I am not saying we ought to have a positive self-esteem, because that's worldly stuff. Here's what I think. We need to have a Christ esteem. In Him I live and move and have my being. It is not about me. It's not about how great I am. It's about Jesus Christ in me. And I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm confident not in myself, but in the God I serve. I need Him. And I don't want to be separated from Him. I love 2 Corinthians 4:7. He says, I have this treasure in earthen vessel. Man, do you realize that? Do you realize the resurrected power of God is inside of you? You can walk humbly with your God and still be a confident man. Right? Because I believe the more that we are humble, the more confident we become. We just simply don't understand humility. I was watching a show yesterday, and it was showing the old type of Catholic priest, and he was standing, kneeling before the cross with this whip and whipping himself. And I thought, first I thought, how stupid. And then my second thought was, we still do it today. There's still this attitude in the church that if I'm going to be pleasing in God's sight, I've got to beat myself up. I got to become worthless dirt. That's just not true. God loves you. We read all these verses. God loves you enough. He wants to prosper you. But it's not about you. It's about Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. It's one of the mysteries that Paul writes about. When you reach your level of success, you make sure you give God the glory. doesn't matter so much what you tell people, but what are you telling yourself? Thank God for what he's done for me. Thank God. I believe we do need to have a healthy inner image. But I'm not selling you a self-help book today. I'm saying that inner image needs to be Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? In your success. You know, if the devil can't get you with defeat, he'll get you with pride in your success. Think of the 26 verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. And when you quit seeking God, and I know that probably everybody in here says, well, I'll never do that. You might be surprised. Will you seek him when you get a bad report from the doctor? Will you seek him if your business fails? Will you seek him if your children rebel? Nowhere in Scripture does it say, seek the Lord unless this happens. Seek the Lord. Do I believe in prosperity? I believe what the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible teaches prosperity. As long as you keep it in the right perspective. We got to deal with some idols. Do you have any idolatry in your life? If anyone sits on the throne of your heart other than Jesus Christ, that's an idol. Can I dare say the number one idol, maybe in America, is not sex and money. It's you. You are trying to call the shots. You're trying to run your life. You're the one in charge, and you're not. He is the one in charge. That's a little bit difficult, I know. That verse that I was quoting, that we have this gift in this earthen vessel, this treasure, and it says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you know it's entirely possible that you are that gifted, that you are that smart, that you can do some things on your own, that you can bring an element of success just in who you are. But then you know who gets the glory? You do. That's what Josiah said. Look what I've done. You know, I think it's sort of pitiful sometimes when husbands look at their wives and they say, I'm a good husband. How pitiful is that? If you have to tell her you're a good husband, probably something missing in your life. Sometimes I think that we do that with God. I'm a good Christian. Are you? Are you a good child of God? I am not teaching performance. I'm teaching humility. Micah says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Walk humble with God. And in your success, you make sure you give him the glory. I remember talking to a very wealthy man. And he used to tell me everything that he'd done and all the money he made. But he would always say, God gave me the ability. I honestly believe it was his saving statement. I believe that if he had ever left that statement off, he was in danger. Because he liked to talk about his accomplishments. I think we need to talk more of what God has done than what you have done. It's like the original sin, pride. You know, most people believe that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. But if you read in your Bible, that's not true. The Bible specifically says it was the sin of pride that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Study it. Look it up. Google it. Scriptures teach us of the prosperity and success of God. It really does. Man twists it sometimes. It's easy to twist. We are never to seek prosperity. We're not supposed to seek it. We're supposed to seek God. And God will prosper us as we seek Him. Right? All through Scripture, He tells us, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. If you seek the Lord, God will trust you. God will bless you. I'm not going to say God will make you rich, but you'll feel like a rich man. Right? I don't know what rich is. What does rich mean? Peace with God? The ability to pay your bills? The ability to help others? I don't know. Does it mean you have to have $1 million in your account to be rich? I don't think so. But I think sometimes that becomes the mentality of believers. Maybe of just Americans. Seek the Lord, not prosperity. And when success comes, make sure you give God the glory. And make sure that you keep pride far away from yourself. If we keep a right perspective and a healthy balance of who we are, that we're made in His image, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we are His Son, that we are complete in Him, and that we have the mind of Christ, we are the workmanship. How can you read the Bible and not see that God wants to bless you? Right? I mean, from the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, He blessed them. When God brought Abraham on the scene, He blessed him. I want to bless my kids. God wants to bless His kids. Yes, God teaches prosperity. Yes, God teaches success. But yes, He must be number one in our life. And when prosperity and things take His place, He'll not share His glory. And it's not worth it. Uzziah, I think, died a lonely man. Man, this king that did so much, that knew the blessing of God, missed it. I just think that's one of, verse 16 to me is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. When he became so much, his heart was lifted up. Oh, what is that? That's pride. His heart was lifted up. He began to think, I'm something. I remember having a kid in our house one time. He's a college student, a friend of Matt's. And he would always joke. And he would say, he'd say, I'm really a pretty big deal. funny guy. He'd tell us that, I'm really a pretty big deal. And you know, sometimes I think that's what Christians get the attitude. I'm really a pretty big deal. I'm not sure God could run this church without me. Take a step back, brother. It's like when he talked to Job. He said, where were you when I put the stars in place? When I set the ocean's boundaries? Where were you? Let's remember, we need Him. More than anything else in life, we need Him. And as long as you seek the Lord, God will prosper you. You have that promise. You have that promise. Amen. Would you stand with me? Matthew 6:33 has been one of my favorite verses since I was 16 years old. Seek first the kingdom. Why? Because it's been a challenge all my life. Make sure I'm seeking the kingdom of God. Not seeking my own kingdom. You know, I grew up extremely poor. Extremely poor. And so my goal in life was to become a millionaire. And then I got married. And so Treba tells me all the time, I'm your million. And so we're working on our second million somewhere. I'm not for sure. But I will tell you, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. And I know where it came from. I know it's come from the Lord. I have peace with God. I have good relationships, lots of friends. so much more important than your bank account. I know that one day I will walk on streets of gold. When I buried my mother 20 years ago, I stood at her casket and I said, I promise you this, I will see you again, because I know what it takes. I know it takes keeping my eyes on Him. And I promise you, I will do that. I'm going to do that. I hope that you will say that today with me. I hope that you'll say, Jesus is number one in my life, and I will seek the Lord with all my heart. And if you can't say that today, this would be a good moment to repent. If pride has come into your heart because of the level of the success that maybe you've walked in, this is a good time to repent. Get pride out of your heart. Because if pride is there, I promise destruction is on its way. As long as we walk in humility towards God. Do you think maybe you don't need God? I promise you there will be coming a day when you will see, I need God. God is my refuge and my help. A continuous help in the time of trouble. Right? God helps us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you bow your head? If you're here today and never have invited Jesus as your Savior, if you're here today and you just are not confident that you're going to make heaven your home, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I need to know for sure that I am saved and I will go to heaven. Is there anyone here that's got any doubt? John says that we can know. Anyone here has got any doubt? Then by your confession, you're telling me that I will meet you on the other side. That you are saved. That's a done issue. Has pride entered your heart? Let's repent of it. Let's ask God to be the king of our hearts. To stand on the throne of our heart and no one else. Father God, I come before you today. And Lord, I know that pride is a slippery thing, Father. It's sneaky. And it slips in, Father. If we're not careful, it wants to slip into our heart and into our mind. God, I believe that every person has dealt with this or will deal with it. And I pray, Father, Lord, that we just repent of allowing idolatry and pride into our heart. I pray today that we would be humbled in your sight, that we would recognize that we need you. Lord, we need you in every area, Father. We need your leadership, your guidance, your wisdom, your love. We need you, Jesus. May you always be the king of our hearts. May you always be number one in our life. God, never let, Lord, the cares of this life slip in and get us in confusion. You are number one. Father, we love you, we worship you, and we recognize our need for you. God, I pray today for every person under the sound of my voice that this verse, Lord, would rock them. That as long as they seek the Lord, you will prosper their life. God, help us to always be seekers of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, if you have food that you'd like to make or buy, and if you want to bring it to the church or to our house or something, we'll make a run over there today and take them some stuff that they can eat on. Denny, would you come and dismiss the church? I want you to notice the time is 11:25.
All right, so let's make this quick. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.